now. We're going to bring up Trevor McDowell.
Good morning, man. Great to be with you again. We're on the home stretch, so hang in there just a little bit longer. Why don't we pray again? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful morning again here up at Zion and just your wonderful creation, Lord. What an amazing testament to how great you are. Pray for the men, Lord. Pray that you'd get us all home safe in a few hours, that we can just go home and serve our families, Lord. In the meantime, help us to continue to stay focused on you, to give all the glory and honor, praise to your name. In Jesus Christ's abundant and great name we pray, amen. So Dan wanted me just to take a few minutes and talk about, in light of everything we've heard this weekend, where do we go from here? What can we, some things we can do maybe to, as David was talking about, get that focus off of the temporal and on the eternal. And as you know, there are two things that last forever. Other than God, in this world, there are two things that last forever. And that's the Word of God and people's souls. So I think if we are focusing on those two things, we're going to be doing a decent job at focusing on the things above and not the things below. Will someone read Matthew 28, 19, and 20, please? Someone just grab a mic and read that really quick.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And all I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Thank you. So that is, everyone know what that statement is? It's the Great Commission, right? Yeah, the Great Commission. My understanding is that if you look at the original Greek text, that go therefore really in our English means as you go. So it's not like we got to, okay, in light of everything that the disciples heard and Jesus taught, okay, I got to change everything in my life. I've got to make some radical changes. Really what Jesus is saying, no, what he's saying is as you are living your life, I want you to change your focus a little bit. And as you're living your life, as you're working, as you're raising a family, as you're just doing the everyday life things, I want you to go make disciples. And, you know, some men are called to, as the guys have talked about this weekend, vocational Christian ministry, right? So their job is a ministry job. But the majority of us are called, you know, to the business world. And God wants us, as we are living in the business world, to go make disciples. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, maybe get some legs on that. A great verse that has really stuck with me through the years is 1 Corinthians 7:20. And it says, each one is to remain in that condition in which he was called. So when God calls us, you know, when he called me, I was just getting into the business world when I became a Christian. And that is what he wants of all of us, right? Just whatever you're doing, I just want you to change your focus and focus on the eternal. So let's talk about your personal ministry. The command to go make disciples is not a corporate command. It's not a command for the church to go do it. It's a command to all of us as individuals to go do. The only difference between some of us, like I think I heard someone say it the other day, is how the ministry is funded, right? Some people, like George, their ministry is funded by the faithful donations of faithful guys, and some of us, our ministry is funded by our job. Really, that's going to sustain us and help us take care of our family and help us do the ministry. So it's for all of us, guys. Dave talked about this a lot yesterday, right? We all have the privilege and the responsibility. I'm telling you, to get involved in the lives of other men, greatest deal out there. What a blessing. And I'll talk a little bit more about how I got involved with it. But it's also a command, right? The Great Commission is not a request. It is a command. And so think about that. If I'm not doing it, am I being disobedient to God? The other thing is we are all capable of being equipped to do the ministry. You don't need formal training. You don't need to be seminary trained. There are just a few things we'll talk about, and it's all you need to be equipped. So my question is, are you a fat man? And when I say, are you a fat man, I'm not talking about your personal weight. I like using these acronyms to help me remember some things. So the first is, are you a faithful guy? Are you willing to take risks for God? Will you trust him to provide for you as you do the ministry, right? Because that can take our focus off the really important things, or at least the things we perceive to be really important, right? If we're going to get in the lives of other guys, that's going to mess up our lives. It's messy. I remember talking to a guy. I said, okay, you know, I'm starting to disciple these guys. And I was talking to the guy who discipled me. I said, but now I got this whole new set of tension in my life. You know, I got my family, I got my work, I got this ministry stuff I'm doing. And I said to him, how do I get rid of this dang tension I constantly am living with? He said, Trevor, you will never get rid of the tension. You just have to learn to accept and live with the tension. So be prepared, guys. If we're going to get involved in the lives of other people, that is going to bring added tension into our life. And I think that's exactly where Jesus wants us, because then it drives us to continued dependence upon him. So the path towards God is dependence. The path away from God is independence. It takes risking relationships to start talking to men about spiritual things. Because, right, they may think you're a whack job and not want to hang out with you anymore if you start talking to them about Jesus. Are we willing to take that risk? Are we willing to be known as, yeah, he's a good guy, but he's kind of one of those wacky Bible thumpers, right? And I'm sure most of us have never even, you know, we're carrying our iPads now, we're not carrying Bibles anymore, but we'll still be referred to as a Bible thumper if we're going to talk to people about Jesus. My brother had this band come and play at his house a couple of weeks ago, this traveling band, and they're actually Christians. And he was telling the story how one of his neighbors he invited over, and his neighbor, after the first song, was like, wow, man, these guys are really good. I really like them. And then about two songs in, the guy started talking about how Jesus changed his life. And my brother noticed his neighbor got up and he said, hey, I got to go take care of my dogs. I'll see you later. And that was all that was said. But then my brother's son and his neighbor's son were talking. And the neighbor's son said to my brother's son, said, oh, yeah, my dad was saying, you know, that he liked the music, but all that guy wanted to do was talk about Jesus, and he couldn't take anymore, and he was out of there, right? So now my brother's running the risk, right? He might be seen as a little bit of a weird neighbor to his neighbor, but that's okay, right? That is the calling we have. We're going to be marginalized. We're going to be rejected, but so was Jesus, right? Jesus said, the world hated me first. It's going to hate you. We just have to be willing to accept that and be okay with it. I remember trying to invite a guy to a ministry event, and I told him, yeah, it was Christian-based, and man, he just like, oh, heck no. At first, I thought he was in, and then once I said it was a Christian event, he just said, I'm not interested, no thanks, no how, and I just felt rejected, and I'm like, man, that sucks, but I just have to remind myself, he is not rejecting me, he's rejecting Jesus. Available. Are we willing to mess up our schedule to meet with men? Yep. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And getting involved in the lives of men, you're going to have to find out that you're going to have to be the one that conforms rather than they be the one that conforms. You know, when it comes to our local churches, right, and some of them are really big, they have lots of great events and lots of great things to do, but you have to do it on their schedule, right? They got to manage so many people that they have to set a schedule, and everyone has to conform to that schedule. The beautiful thing about one-on-one ministry is we get to conform to the guy's schedule that we're ministering to. I remember one of the early on in my opportunity to disciple men, I started meeting with this guy, and I live in Scottsdale, and he lived in probably about 25 minutes away from me. And that wasn't the bad part. The bad part was he wanted to meet on Wednesday mornings at about 7 a.m. so that at 8 a.m. or 8:15 when we were done, I had to fight traffic to get back to my office. And it was brutal. You know, I did a 25-minute drive was a 45-minute drive. And then the guy who discipled me, I was complaining about this. I'm like, you know, it's great. I love meeting with him, but I got to fight the dang traffic all the way after we're done. It's just, it sucks. And he said, Trevor, he said, would you have been willing to do that drive if that was a business deal or a real estate deal? Oh, I felt a knife go right in me. Of course I would, right? No big deal. And if I'm looking at things correctly, again, my time with this guy is the greatest profit out there. Of course I should be willing to make that drive. Really just put me back into perspective. So are we available? And then the T is, are we teachable? And I think a lot of guys are hesitant about wanting to disciple and get involved in another man's life because they're worried about what they know. And none of us want to be seen as vulnerable and not having all the answers. And I think one of the greatest things is, guys, we'll never have all the answers. We're always learning. We're always growing. And as Mark Ramey said, if you guys saw that testimony, you just got to stay 1 week ahead. Just do the material before you meet. Think about what you're going to talk about. And sometimes he's going to ask a question you can't answer. I think men really appreciate it when we don't throw out a lame answer just to act like he has the answer. But guys appreciate it when you say, you know what, good question. I'm not sure about that. I'm going to find out next week. We'll get back together and we'll talk about it. Guys appreciate that. I mean, if we're vulnerable and we're showing that we don't have all the answers, we are going to have credibility. And let's keep moving. God does not need you, but he wants to use you as his vessel, right? God does not need us. If I decide tomorrow that I'm not going to disciple another guy for the rest of my life, God is not going to be like, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? He's just going to raise up someone else to do that. He does not need me. But man, what a privilege to be used by God in the lives of other men. So let's talk about the Sea of Galilee versus the Dead Sea. And when someone told me about this illustration, I loved it. So, as you know, when Jesus was doing his ministry and he picked up a few fishermen, it was here up at the Sea of Galilee, and that's kind of where he hung around when he was doing his ministry. Down here, you have the Dead Sea, and coming down in down here, that's the Jordan River. And as you can see with the Sea of Galilee, you got this body of water, the river coming down into the Sea of Galilee, and then it goes back out. And here in the Dead Sea, this is actually, the Dead Sea is called Endorheic Basin. And it's actually below sea level. It's actually the Dead Sea here, lowest area of land, 1,412 feet below sea level. And because of that, water goes into the Dead Sea, but it can't go out. And what that does is the only way the water goes out is evaporates, and so it makes the Dead Sea very salty. And as you know, a lot of people go there for spa stuff, right? Because the water's supposed to be so good for your skin. But nothing can live in the Dead Sea. And the reason why that is water is only going in but not going out. And unfortunately, that is the life of most Christians. They go to church, they go to Bible studies, they continually take things in, but nothing's coming out. When I first became a Christian, it was wonderful. I grew up going to church, but wasn't really interested or into it. And then I finally came to the Lord and started going back to the church I grew up at. Really dynamic, good pastor there. Really good teacher. And I learned a lot, and I was growing. And that went on for about 5 years. And after 5 years, I just felt like something was missing. I couldn't put my finger on it. But I felt like something was missing from my Christian life. And I'd suggest to you the problem is I was taken in a lot, but I was not giving anything away. And that made my Christian life stagnant, and I was not growing anymore. And I kind of felt like I was flatlining. And then I came to a conference like this in 2000. I can't believe it's been 21 years. But I came to this conference, and I had been looking. And forgive me, because I know some of you guys hear this story, but I'll tell it again. I had been looking to get involved with men. When I became a Christian, you know, all my buddies were non-Christians. So when I became a Christian, I really had no male friendships. And I went to a big church that didn't really have any men's group, and I was looking to get involved with other men. I found a pamphlet with a men's Bible, a group of about five or six Bible studies that were related to the church I was attending. One was at a coffee shop. I called the guy, said, "Hey, man, I see you got a men's group going on. I'd really love to join and be a part of it." And he said, "Sorry, we're full." I said, "You're full? Okay, maybe you should stop advertising." And he said, "We just have no room to fit another guy in this little coffee shop." About a year later, my wife and I are going to a small little church. I thought, maybe they got something going on. I call the pastor, and I'm like, "Hey, man, you guys got anything for men? I really want to get, and I want to meet men." He said, "Yeah, I think so. Let me get your name and number. I'll call you back." Never heard from the guy again. And I'm like, "What are you doing, God? Come on." But I realized he was doing something. So I went to this men's retreat, and I marked off there at the evaluation form as interested in a men's group. And so I get a call from a guy. He said, "Why don't we get together for lunch and talk?" And so we get together, and I'm telling him about my testimony. And I'm telling him, you know, I just feel like, I don't know where I'm going next in my Christian walk. I feel like it's really stagnant. He said, "Well, what's your purpose, Trevor?" And I said, "Well, it's glorify God and enjoy him forever." He said, "No, what's the unique purpose God has called you to?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Why don't you and I get together and talk about it?" And I'm just like, well, I'm looking for like a men's group, not just, what's this you and I? Just you and me? That would be it? Just you and me get together? He's like, "Yeah, we'll talk about these things." I'm like, "Okay, I'll think about it." Totally blew the guy off and didn't call him back. But about 90 days later, God was knocking on my heart, give him a call. I gave him a call. And that is when my life changed. Is we started getting together every Wednesday at 7:30, and we'd get together for about an hour and a half. And man, we started going through purpose, and then we started going through some of the other Ministry in the Marketplace books. The great thing about those books, they're tools. They're tools for getting in the Word of God. And then we'd always detour. I'd always say, "Hey, what about this?" And he would take me to the Scriptures. "Hey, what about this? Well, let's go to Philippians. Hey, what about this? Let's go to Romans." He always knew the Scripture to bring up, and it blew me away. And guys, I started growing like a weed. And then the thing he started doing is, "Trevor, start praying for a guy." So quickly into when we started meeting. And it probably took about a year, but I started praying for a guy and God to give me a guy. And that's when, okay, I had to start figuring out how to give away what had been given to me. And then my growth took on a whole nother level, because believe me, the first time I met with this guy, I was freaking out. I was like, "I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try." And I was able to do it. I realized, okay, I can do this. This is something I can do. And this is going to be my personal ministry. I like this. I mean, meeting with guys. And so that's kind of what I've been trying to do for the past 20 years, is just as I'm working in business, I'm looking for guys to pick out. I'm looking for to share the gospel with them. And then if they're interested, I'm going to start taking them through the discipleship books. And then if things hopefully really catch momentum, they're going to start doing it as well. And one thing I want to encourage you guys, sometimes you're going to meet with men and you're going to be frustrated because they're going to cancel on you, they're going to blow you off, and it's just not going to go well. Be okay with that. I remember, again, the guy who discipled me, I was complaining. The first guy I started discipling was a complete flake, always canceled on me. I'm like, "When do I fire this guy?" And he said, "Trevor, maybe you need him more than he needs you. Maybe God has this guy in your life to help teach you." And I'm like, "Oh, so yeah, maybe, okay. Am I going to keep trying?" And then, you know, he eventually did fade away. I didn't fire him, but he fired me. And that's okay too. But then the next guy that God brought into my life ended up being a real faithful guy. And he is, just to see where God has taken him has been amazing. I mean, he went from being a guy I discipled to being really a brother, a Barnabas, a counterpart, right? Doing the same thing and who I rely on. And he teaches me probably more than I teach him today. A few rules for discipleship, and these aren't hard, fast rules. It's just things I encourage you guys to consider as you meet with men. I always tell a guy, I only have two rules when I meet with you. The first one is, you can quit anytime, and so can I. I never want a guy to feel like he's forced to meet with me. I want you to know, If this isn't working for you, you can end it and you and I will still be friends and I will not look at all negatively upon you. You just want to free a guy up. You never want him to feel forced. And the other thing is confidentiality. I always let a guy know the things we talk about, I'm not going to share with a mutual buddy of ours or anything. If you feel like you want to share something, it's not going to leave this room. I want a guy to feel safe and comfortable. We talked a little bit about this, but serve a guy by meeting on his terms and meet him where he is at spiritually. So really, I always start most of the time, not always, but with this book. Even if a guy's been a Christian for a number of years, it's just amazing what you can learn in these three discipleship books. And even in the blue one, that's the basics of the Christian faith, right? The Word of God, who is Jesus, what did Jesus do in eternal life? And the topics in this book are wonderful. So I encourage you guys, even if a guy's been a Christian for a few years, start at the beginning. Try to meet where there's minimal distractions. I always try to get a guy to meet me at his office or my office, just so there's a lack of distraction. But again, if I'm going to meet a guy where he's at, I started meeting with a guy and I said, because we live kind of far away, he said, I want to meet at this restaurant. This is just convenient for me. This is where I'd like to meet. And I was kind of like, eesh, okay. For 5 years, we started meeting at this Paradise Bakery restaurant. And it was always busy, but we'd always get, you know, a spot in the back of the room where there'd be minimal distraction. So do your best to avoid distractions, but sometimes a guy's just going to want to meet at a certain place. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Let's do it. And the guy I met at Paradise Bakery, I think we went through just about every single book. He's the one guy I think I've taken through every single book in that ministry series. And we did it for 5 years, and now he's doing it with other guys. It's really cool. Look for men right where you are, right in your current sphere of influence. Don't think you have to start trying new things necessarily. Maybe you have a job where, well, my job's at home, I'm on the computer all day, so maybe you have to get creative, like join a business group or some kind of men's group around town in order to meet new men and have new relationships. But I had a guy I started discipling recently. Not him, but a guy I knew very well was starting a new business, and we had an extra office. He said, hey, can we use your office for a while? We get things started. I said, yep, no problem. And this guy I had just met was there. He was the one that was there every day. And I said, hey, since you're starting a new business, I got this great book, Why Go to Work? I think it would be really kind of key to what you're going through today. He said, oh, yeah, cool. Sounds good. So we went through Why Go to Work, and now we're starting back at the... So I just thought, you know, God put that knock on my shoulder, Trevor, ask him about Why Go to Work. I did, and man, I just love it when I get a guy that just has so many questions, and this guy just, every time we get together, he's peppering me with new questions. It's so fun. I love it. And maybe there's a guy in your heart. I encourage you, pray for him. Ray, can you hand out those cards? You can start passing those out. Pray for the guys that you might, God would open up the opportunity. Pray for God to give you favor in their lives. There's something about that where God has to give us favor in the lives of other men so that they're willing to, again, you know, that guy I started meeting with, I said, when I first started meeting with him, I'm like, what's his agenda? Why does he want to meet with me one-on-one? That's kind of, you know, most guys haven't heard of this. That's just the reality. After I started meeting with him, I realized he wanted nothing from me. He just wanted to give. And that is powerful. It's an amazing. When you realize a guy just wants to build into your life and give and wants nothing in return, it's amazing. So pray for it, man. If you have no prospects, start praying for God to give you a man and then have your antenna up. Trust me. Just start praying for it. Be diligent about it. And then be ready when God gives you the opportunity. So I've handed out these little cards. And it really has two components to it. The front is the first E of E squared, evangelism. And with God, don't think you need to fill out this whole sheet right away, but if God puts a guy in your heart to start praying for his soul, just write his name down, stick this in your Bible or maybe on your mirror at home, and just start praying daily for guys. And then maybe God puts another guy in your heart. I was convicted. I'm like, I need to start a new card. And so I just have four guys on here. Start praying for him daily. And then the other side is the disciples, the edification side. So there's a spot for five guys that maybe it's a guy that he's a Christian, but you'd love the opportunity to disciple him. Or maybe you're just hoping that God really brings him up to be a discipler of other men. So you can pray for those guys on the back that are Christians, but you want to see them go to the next level in their relationship. Prayer is the foundation to ministry. And it's so easy to forget that. I know that, guys, my prayer life stinks. I mean, I have never been satisfied with my prayer life. But when I just start praying for God, for guys to God, that's the role of a priest, right? A priest talks to God about men and talks to men about God. That is our role as a priest. So start praying for them. We've talked about these tools. That's all they are, right? These are not the end-all, be-all. There are so many good materials out there. You don't have to use these, but these are the ones that I grew up on that guys used in my life, so they're the ones I use in the lives of other men. And the thing I love about book one is if a guy is not a Christian, he doesn't need a Bible. It's just very disarming. I've taken non-Christians through this book. I'm like, you don't need a Bible. All the verses are there in the booklet, so he doesn't have to feel overwhelmed. So just take this book, read the verses, fill it out, and then we'll get together. Half the time, the guy doesn't even fill out because he's just too nervous to do so. That's okay. So we just read it right there, and I just start asking him, what do you think that says? What do you think that means? And you're just starting to get, really, these tools are getting a guy into the Word of God, right? Because it is the Word of God that transforms a soul. And that's all these books do. The other great thing is we have this leader guide. And I don't know if you guys have read this leader guide. Man, I read through it. I couldn't believe the good stuff that is in there. And really, just personally, how it edified me. And then basically, before you do every single chapter in these books, there's something about each chapter to help you think about where you want to go in your conversations with the guys, or a topic to help you get a better understanding. So if you're like not sure, get a copy of the leader guide. Dan has the packages where you get two of every book in the leader guide for $20. Start praying for guys and then see what God does in giving you the opportunity. Are there any questions? Yeah, Doug.
When you're first meeting a guy and you're setting it up, that talking about meeting on a weekly basis, I mean, you kind of explaining why, or are you being nonchalant about it? I mean, how do you tell a guy, hey, let's start meeting on a weekly basis and talking about Scripture?
Yeah, I don't know if I give a reason for it. Like, because what I'll do is I'll start him out on this. So I'll say, if we meet on a weekly basis, we're done in 4 weeks, 1 month. No long-term commitment. I always let a guy know. If I get a guy through this book, I've never had a guy not want to go to book two. I've had guys that didn't make it through this book, but I've never had a guy that if we got through these four meetings, he was saying, okay, what's next? I'm really liking this. Let's move on. So I've had some guys say, you know, I'm kind of busy. Every week is a little tough, but I could do every 2 weeks. I say, no problem. Let's meet every 2 weeks. The thing I love about once a week is you kind of just you catch a little bit of momentum if we're meeting on. And then usually what I try to get a guy to do is, you know, so this guy I've been meeting with him recently, 4 o'clock on Tuesdays. We just put it in our calendar, and neither one of us are scheduling anything else for that 4 o'clock Tuesday meeting.
And are you very intentional about why you're meeting? Because I've been trying to meet with guys for the last couple of years, and they just think I want to meet for coffee and, you know, ramble on. And I guess the question better put is, how intentional are you about why you're meeting?
Usually I'll try to get a hook, right? So with the guy starting a new business, I figured why go to work would be a good hook. So, hey, you're starting a new business. You know, work is obviously going to be a dominant part of your life. Let's see what the Scriptures have to say about work. Or a guy, hey, where are you in your spiritual journey? I'm not really sure. Okay, well, I've got this great book that can just show you some foundations of the Christian Bible. Are you interested? You know, just to get an understanding of what Christianity is about as you are on your spiritual journey and searching things out. So I look for the hook, right? Fishermen, you know, a good fisherman uses certain bait in certain lakes and certain streams. You know, if he's in a river, he's using the flies, and, you know, the fisherman is trying. So that's what I'm looking. What's the right hook and the right bait to grab a guy? Any other questions? If you can get a guy through these three books, he will have an understanding of the Christian faith probably more than I would guess 90% of the Christians out there. Just getting him through. It'll take 1 to 2 years to get him through those three books on average. And if you can get a guy through that, he will be at a maturity level that people don't get being Christians for 20 years. It's amazing what can happen. So, guys, thanks for the time. My, you know, Doug, as also, you know, I'll ask a guy, what's your purpose? Just like a guy asked me what my purpose was. And that, a lot of times, I think that is a topic that can really grab a guy. If you don't know what your unique purpose God has called you to, let's go through this booklet. This will help you. This will help you work through it and think through it. So, lots of great different books there for different topics. Any other questions or thoughts? All right, guys, thanks. What a privilege to be with you this weekend. What a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll see you soon in the near future. Thanks.